Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Segura, happy to be with you here for the second hour, and it's time now to get into the roundtable as Doug Deacon joins us here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. And the roundtable, of course, brought to you by Blue Point Grill. Blue Point Grill, Silver Spoons Award winner for best seafood restaurant ever since it's open, and that's a reputation earned by serving the absolute freshest and highest quality seafood. And with a name like Blue Point, you know oysters are a huge deal, over 75,000 hand-shucked every year, just the way Matt Wilhelm likes them. Huge crab legs, got great steaks too, VIP service. Take that someone special, Blue Point, and score some points. All right, Doug, this is a big game, I think, for the Browns. Opportunity to get to 5-3, more wins in the first 8 games of the Mike Pettine regime than they had all of last year. What are your keys to getting the W against this Buccaneers team that comes in this game struggling at 1-6?
Well, I think the same formula they've had in their success so far is not turn the ball over. Win the giveaway takeaway game, that's always been the benefit for them. The other thing, I think they got to get the running game going, and I think you know, the teams obviously are trying to shut it down and put the ball in Brian Hoyer's hands. And if that's the case, you know, Brian is going to have to be a little more careful with the ball. He got away with about 3 of them last week. I think that could very well have been intercepted.
Bob, Doug, based on your understanding and knowledge of this football team and up front, you talk about the run game. What is it for, you know, the fans out there that, you know, continue to say they need to fix, they need to be able to run the football? What is causing that struggle? Everyone knows, you know, points a finger at Alex Mack, but besides that, what are they struggling with and that defenses are doing to take away that run?
Well, they're loading the box and they're getting penetration to the point that if you got a combination block where one guy takes over, they're splitting it and forcing the back to make a change of direction before he can, you know, find a lane. And it just there's no place to go. And if, you know, last week, obviously, Mack was very good at setting the edge to the point that, you know, all the guys on the offensive line were in the locker room afterwards and going, "Oh, that kid's something special," and he did a good job of it. But you know, our tight ends had a tough time with him too, not just the offensive line. So I think, you know, what you got to go back in. You know, the one way you're going to get that extra guy out of the box is by throwing the ball, be it the bubble screens. You know, force them to get that eighth guy, you know, out of the box.
When you talk about this matchup with the Tampa Bay team, they're going to play a lot of cover two. Typically, you want to attack that with an athletic tight end who can get down the seam, put pressure on that middle linebacker. With Jordan Cameron out, how do you see the Browns trying to do that? Are you comfortable with Barnage stepping into that role? Do you think they'll use some Miles Austin or kind of a combination of things to attack?
I think you'll see a combination. You know, obviously, Barnage and Dre don't have the speed that Cameron has, but you know, they're very blue collar reliable guys. I mean, you throw them the ball, they're going to catch it. They do the little things very well, you know, probably better blockers than Jordan. So I think you make with what you got. You style your offense around the people you have. Okay, so maybe you're not going to throw a seam route 40 yards down the field, maybe it's going to be 20.
We'll take it,
but you take what they give you.
Take what they give you. And speaking of this game, and we know how important it is to win, a lot of distractions this week. And you got the Cavs, obviously, we'd be remiss. I'm sure you guys have gotten into it. LeBron James making his return tonight. A lot of the players will be at that. Then they're going to have Halloween with their families tomorrow. How tough is it to kind of maintain your focus when you have kind of a crazy week in Cleveland and obviously with the holiday falling as well?
Well, I mean, every guy does his own thing. And, I mean, I think guys, you don't know what they're doing. You know, be it a Cavs game or not, they could be out. So I don't think that's and sometimes I think you're safer in a Cavs game than you are someplace else.
That's probably true.
Yeah. So, you got to just treat guys as adults and let them, you know, do their thing. And I think, you know, you try to micromanage them. And then, you know, you take some of the fun out of playing football. And, you know, guys want to come to work and have fun. And I think that's one of the environments that Mike Pettine is trying to get here.
Deke, as we shift over to the defense side of football, you look at a Tampa Bay Buccaneers team that struggles to run the football, and we've seen in weeks past, you know, we did a great job against the Oakland Raiders, but in weeks past, other struggling teams still be able to run the football. And then also, too, is their ability to use their 6'5" wide receivers. We mentioned LeBron James being a football player as a freshman and dominating at 6'5". You've got 6'5", 230, 6'5", 230, and 6'2", 200 versus, you know, Screen and Hayden and these guys. So do you see it as an opportunity for that jump ball and those abilities to go up and get the football as a weakness for us with some undersized defensive backs?
Well, I mean, you can also throw in the tight end. He's another 6'5 guy, too.
That's
the,
right.
The rookie tight
255,
end.
255, yeah.
What do they call them, the Dunketeers down there? But I mean, yeah, it's one of those. You got to play your position. And I think Mike Pettine said, you know, probably play a little bit more off than, you know, come up and try to challenge up the line of scrimmage. Because not only, you know, are they tall, they're 230 pounds.
That's right.
So, you know, if you don't get your jam, they might run right through it. So I think, you know, you just got to play your skill level. And I think you got to trust your speed. And, you know, that's one of the things that we've seen with our defensive backs in the past. Sometimes they don't trust their speed or their length. And, you know, when the ball's up in the air, hey, they just got as much right to get it. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if Buster can't jump as high as the rest of those
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, true. Go ahead, Reg.
No, I'm just going to say, how much do you guys think in the secondary and coverage drops with linebackers are going to be predicated, too, on this week? Maybe on, you know, get your ball sheared and get Barkevious Mingo going a little bit to join Paul Kruger and getting home on the quarterback. Deke, we haven't seen those two. It's been pretty much specifically Kruger with pressure on QBs.
Well, I mean, I'm sure they're going to give everybody a shot. But, you know, last week, I think we had Mingo in coverage on the tight end quite a bit.
A lot.
Yeah. So, I mean, sometimes it's a matchup you get. You know, you look at this team, you know, they've got some good football players on. Obviously, we talked about the two wide receivers. The young quarterback, he can make some plays. I mean, he probably had the best numbers of any of the rookie quarterbacks that played last year. So, you know, you've got some threats there, but I don't know. It's one of those that you just sit there and you say, okay, we've got people hurt now. Now you can't feel sorry for yourself. And that's one of the things I think you got to be afraid of. Well, we're missing him. We're missing him. Now you just got to go play with the guys you got.
That's what you got to do. And it's interesting. Barkevious Mingo, according to Pro Football Focus, of the 46 3-4 outside backers who have played at least 25% of the snaps, only Courtney Upshaw of Baltimore has dropped more often than Barkevious Mingo, who's now dropping 51% of the time.
Wow.
That he's out there. Sheard's still rushing about 86% of the time that he's out there. Kruger, 92%. So Kruger's been the guy getting after it the most, obviously, and that's why he's got all those sacks this year. But so is Jabal Sheard, just hasn't been as productive. This week, you talked about Brian Hoyer having a couple passes that maybe got away from him last week. There's a lot of talk about Johnny Manziel. Do you guys think, not do you want or do you think we should, just do you think that we'll see Johnny Manziel on the field against the Buccaneers?
Well, I don't think, as long as you're winning, there's no sense in, you know, messing around. If there's something where all of a sudden the crowd goes flat and you want to get the crowd into it, maybe that's the way you do it. But, I think it's, Hoyer's team right now, and until things change and, you know, the W's become L's, then maybe, you keep it the way it is.
I believe that unless this game has a scripted perfect scenario for him to enter this football game, meaning a lead and or a first and down, and for me it would be one play, because I think I think we misused him early in the season to go those two consecutive plays, and mind you, I know we were trying to set up the throw to
the fake,
him,
right.
the fake to him. I just think it might be something that you interject and get out, because I did not like when he did come out and there were unsuccessful plays on first and second down. You then bring back, a Brian Hoyer who hasn't been on the field for two plays, and you expect him to convert on third and 8+, third and 7+, and that is something that we are, third to last or,
second to last.
Second to last. I'm sorry. I was way off.
That's right.
Something that we struggle with already.
It moves down.
Yeah, put him behind the gun. And I think, again, so unless it's scripted perfectly for Johnny Manziel to enter the game in a certain situation and we will all know what that is, I'd keep him on the sideline.
I don't understand the philosophy, and there's a lot of, well, what would it hurt to put him in for a series? What are you going to find out in relation to got to find out if he can play? What are you going to find out in
I don't think that would be the reason you would
series.
Do it. Nothing, because I don't think there's anything you could do. Right.
Exactly. So, in other words, if you're really looking at a barometer of how he equates to your system, and you're going to have to let him play a game or two. I don't see the benefit or need of putting him in for a couple of plays or a series with this football team winning right now. Don't see it.
Yeah, I don't see it either. I think the only way it happens is if they want to do it, just either get a spark or just give a defense a different look. So that the one reason I could see them doing it in this game is and putting him out there is
if you put him out there even for a play or two, it's something Cincinnati's going to have to prepare for on a short week. So it's just on a short week, give them something to think about, even if it really is an inconsequential thing that you're not doing to get a look at him or to say, hey, we want to give him an opportunity. It's just put it out there because then Cincy on a short week is going to spend time on Johnny Manziel.
Right, and that kind of rivals the point that I made earlier. Johnny Manziel on a run play or Johnny Manziel on the field might be part of that innovation that I talked about earlier in the week to manufacture success on the ground. That would be the only scenario that I could see him playing in this game.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting. I don't know that we will see him, but if we do, I think if we see him in this game, it has more to do with just giving Cincinnati something to waste time on than it has to do with anything else coming on that short week. All right, Deke, when you look at this D-line, John Hughes, I thought, have been playing at the best, probably the best of any D-lineman of the Browns. He's out now. Billy Winn comes back. What have you seen from this D-line that concerns you, and what gives you hope?
Well, I think, you know, John Hughes, you know, losing a guy that just plays solid, plays his responsibility, doesn't freelance, and was playing at a very high level, that's a good loss for you. And then all of a sudden you get Billy Winn back, who's probably a lot more athletic, but Billy has a tendency to follow play down the line of scrimmage. So, you know, hopefully he's been watching how John Hughes has played and he stays at home and doesn't, you know, make those errors. But, you know, the other part is Reuben. Reuben has kind of struggled this year. He's getting, you know, knocked off the ball, double teams, and, you know, that's created some problems for him. I think it'll probably be, another week without Phil Taylor, it looks
yep.
like. So, you know, it's one of those where, you know, we went into the season with a lot of depth, but the depth is really being tested.
Yeah, no question, John. Hughes out, Phil Taylor out, Armani Bryant done for the year.
Puts a little bit more of an onus, guys, don't you think, too, on Dez Bryant. And I think Dez has responded real well. He's a guy you can move up and down that line of scrimmage, and he may have to with the, you know, this attrition the way things are going, but I do think it puts him into real clear focus about got to give a lot each and every time that the Browns go out because he's right now one of the big constants they have.
He's somebody to me, too, that I've noticed needs to be kind of inspired. It seems like there are certain games where he plays with a different level of emotion and passion. Pittsburgh was one of them. I haven't seen him that fired up in pregame all year. And then the Raiders, because he had played there, and I think he was getting into it with some of those guys.
Right.
You could see it raise his level of play. So I think he's a guy that they got to find out whatever the formula is to get him ticked off or to get him angry or whatever it is, get him in that zone, because when he does play at that level, he can be very effective. I think that's very true.
Yeah, and you would think that, you know, making hundreds of thousands of dollars would be inspired.
But you know it's not, though, just from being in locker rooms, right?
You're right. But I think that it's he's had – thus far he was at the bottom of a depth chart. He was, you know, hurt early in the season. So you'd think he'd come back inspired to be a part of the rotation on the defensive front. And he's really done nothing in our eyes, you know, but because of the lack of depth is was cause for him to have the playtime that he's had. And lastly is I think that he, in our eyes, besides maybe Armonte Bryant, was the best pass rusher out of the group, and we haven't seen that as well.
No, you want to see them get that pressure on the quarterback. The Bucs have given up 9 sacks in the last 2 weeks alone. That's the way to get them and throw them off, throw off Mike Glennon there. Deke, thanks for being with us as always. Looking forward to hearing you on the call this Sunday on the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network.
Red Bull for Desmond Bryant.
There you go. Red
Bull. Sugar-free Red Bull.
Some Red Bull, give him some of that ammonia. Oh man! By the way, I was in a Ray Farmer's office, and they had those ammonia things in there. I'd never tried.
They're
he's
the
like,
best.
He's like, check this out. He's like, but don't take too big. Don't take too much. So I like sniffed. Man, that thing is insane.
They're the best.
So why would players use those? Because it almost like knocked me over, and I thought I was gonna
it's
die.
That just again to open. First of all, it's almost like jalapenos, how they open up. So it's just more that like that jolt. You know, and it's good that guys are doing it with ammonia sticks as opposed to something synthetic that they're sticking into their body or something they're chugging down because it doesn't have that effect on their health, you know, throughout the game.
Those things are wild.
Are you talking about the things they used to use when you had a
smelling salts.
Ammonia sticks? Yeah.
Smelling salts. Yeah, when you get a concussion, they give it to you.
Yeah.
That's how they used to be able to play.
Those are good.
If I were
down in the training room right now, I'd grab a handful and have them stuffed in my pocket.
They
to walk
have
up.
Them. They're like,
I'm
going to
go
over
get
the
them.
Place.
They're
I
not part
them.
Of the concussion protocol, though.
No,
are they?
Not anymore. Not at all.
Give me the good stuff.
The old days.
In the old days.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, baby.
The old days. All right. We'll be back with your phone calls 216-578-0850 here when Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, returns. And we want to get into this, obviously. You know, what's you doing for tonight's game? We talked about the Cavs, obviously. We'd be remiss if we didn't. So what are you doing for tonight's game? What are you looking about for Sunday's game with the Browns? Halloween? You got any good costumes? Let us know. I did a little Macho Man yesterday. Mike Pettine says, by the way, he's got a big costume tomorrow that he's going to unveil at a coach's Halloween party.
Sweet. I'll tell you, my one coach, Greg Minuski, who's now the defensive coordinator for the Indianapolis Colts, was my linebacker coach, and he came in for a meeting. He was Captain America with the fake muscles, and he was all pumped
and the
up.
Shield and everything.
And he coached us that entire day in his costume.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah. That's what happens when you win. Right? You can goof like that when you win.
That's right. Winning is good. All right, we'll be back. Hit up phone lines 216-578-0850. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.